for our afternoon session of the Judicial Council meeting. I believe we are here at item K. I'm sorry, we finished item K. We're at item L, Fiscal Year 2013-14 Request for the Supreme Court, Courts of Appeal, Judicial Council, AOC, the Judicial Branch Facility Program, and the Trial Courts. Nice to see you, Zlatko, Stephen, and welcome back, Justice Huffman.
Thank you, Peter. Good afternoon, Chief and members of the Council. Yes, this is here. This issue is to discuss the budget change proposals that we will be submitting to the Department of Finance for their consideration. In the state of California, the budgets are done on an incremental basis, meaning we don't re-examine the entire budget, but merely adjust on the margin. And the way in which we get funding adjustments would be through this budget change proposal process that addresses cost increases, workload growth, and if we had the funds, new policies and programs that the branch would like to pursue.
Yeah.
For the 2013-14 fiscal year, we have to submit the BCPs by September 10th. The Department of Finance issues an annual budget policy budget letter that describes the position of the administration relative to new funding requests. And in my 14 years of the Department of Finance and now my 1 year here with the branch, the budget policy letter that was issued this year was about the most restrictive that I've ever seen. It really narrows what it is that they would consider this fall for consideration for inclusion in the governor's budget. And I think that's in large part driven by the fact that the November initiative and the vote is out there, and they do not want to be in the process of evaluating new spending requests when they conceivably could be looking at additional cuts. And setting even aside the issue of the initiative, we have the fact that a large assumption in the budget was the sale of the Facebook stock, and that is, as many of you know, is not as fruitful, so they're going to lose some revenue there. So. In your package, as I said, you can see the budget policy letter for your reference if you're interested. In terms of process, the Council must approve any budget change proposals that go to the Department of Finance for their consideration, and this is the process that we're engaging in today. What we try to do is we try to look at the financial workload and technical budgeting needs of the branch across the branch from the trial courts, the Supreme Court Courts of Appeal, the AOC. And this year, looking at the budget change proposals in light of the conversations that we've had with the Director of Finance, we know that these conversations are going to establish the parameters under which we're going to be engaging the budget building process with the Department of Finance. And so I think we are looking forward to this partnership that was referenced yesterday by Director Ana Mata Santos. And so this is just our beginning process with the administration and budget building. And we have kept in mind the fact that there are limited resources this fiscal year, as there have been in prior years, and we're taking a little bit of a different tack than was done last year in terms of requests. There are fewer requests than were submitted last year for the Supreme Court Courts of Appeal and AOC. And for the trial courts, the suspension of the state appropriations limit adjustment, which was something that was short-lived as a way to provide stable funding for the branch. For those of you who are not aware, there was a time in which the branch got an automatic increase to its budget to provide for planning purposes, and that was suspended a couple of years ago. And so with that being suspended, we need to look at how we fund trial court needs. So in terms of branch-wide proposals, there are things that are all-encompassing of the branch, and they relate to a couple of areas that the Department of Finance says they will be willing to entertain this fall. And you heard Director Mata Santos on numerous occasions talk about, if you have ideas to save money, we want to see those, or to work within the diminished resources. So what we have is we have these efficiencies that were brought forward and developed by a working group last spring to reduce cost and to generate some efficiencies. So that is being submitted to the Department of Finance. Also, we have an obligation to the branch to request funds for new legislation that will be signed by the governor or already has been signed or we expect to be signed by the governor. For example, the Homeowner's Bill of Rights, as you've heard Kurt Child mention, is going to bring a lot additional causes of action. And so we're attempting to model some level of cost there. We have to let the administration know that you can't keep signing bills that impose costs on the branch while cutting the budget. And so it's incumbent upon us to at least put forth this fiscal cost to the administration to let them know what the branch is facing. So with respect to the Supreme Court and the Courts of Appeals, we've looked at their baseline budgets and we're trying to determine how best they can manage their operations within the available resources. We are looking at a very specific proposal for the Supreme Court, looking at realigning their budget, which again is something that was allowed by the Department of Finance, a realignment of budget resources to determine sort of a minimum funding need for the Supreme Court. We're also looking at some technical adjustments for the Courts of Appeal relative to using some newly approved revenues to support their operations. With respect to the trial courts, we will continue to pursue these what are called baseline budget adjustments. They're not considered policy budget change proposals, and they reflect some major cost drivers for trial courts relative to retirement, employee benefits, retiree health. I will note we are working closely with the Department of Finance to determine what the appropriate resource needs are for the 13-14 parole revocation hearing workload. As you may be aware, the branch is going to be taking all revocation hearing workload starting in 13-14 fiscal year. However, we have really no information from our side to really project what those levels of workload will be. And so we're working closely with the Department of Finance and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to determine what the resources that we need for the 13-14 fiscal year. As a comparison to what the council pursued last year for the trial courts and the branch as a whole, we won't be pursuing a general restoration approach. We had numerous discussions at the Trial Court Budget Working Group and with members of the council to talk about what is our best approach to address the problems of the branch. And when last year we put forward a $300 million funding request, and some would say that what it got was a cut of that amount and more. So we have to be a little more strategic about what we're doing. And so with that, we're going to be at least providing an outline of the impacts to the branch of the budget cuts in the same vein that you described to the Director of Finance yesterday, letting them know that there are major, major impacts, but that we want to work with them going through this fall budget process to see if there's something we can do to try and assist the branch budgetarily. And we're getting assistance from Alan Carlson and David Yamasaki in terms of developing that letter that really conveys the impacts on the trial courts of the budget cuts. And so with that, we decided that we would take a specific sort of budget approach for areas that we thought were justifiable in a smaller sense rather than this global funding request. And the first issue is related to trial court audits, both done by the Bureau of State Audits and the State Controller. There's audits that have to be performed regarding the implementation of the contracting manual. And there'll be fiscal audits that will need to be completed as well. And so this is an unfunded mandate. And in fact, as it stands right now, we have the BSA wanting to work with the Sacramento court without any contract and wanting us to reimburse them for costs. So we've tried to make it clear to them that the branch has been cut and there's no resources and they're still walking in expecting us to reimburse them. So we want to... Yeah, and so clearly it's an issue of major concern because every court and every aspect of the branch is going to be audited. And so we have to put on the table that in this era of cuts, you can't expect us to pull money out of budgets that don't have funds to support that level of expenditure. And we've heard from some courts that they're going to let the BSA know that if you want us to pay for this, these are the three employees that we're going to have to lay off. It's gotten to that level of detail in terms of the concern. So clearly it's an issue that we want to pursue given the fact that all aspects of the branch will be impacted. And it's been an interesting process thus far with the BSA.
Indeed.
So this year we have six courts selected, and we're working again to see how we can fund those costs. The next issue is related to critical case management systems. We are going to be putting forward a request for those courts that have systems that are on the brink of failure. We know that's an important issue, and we did raise that issue with the Director of Finance in a meeting we had about a month ago. We said what do we do if a court is about to fail and all the justice partners can no longer have access to the necessary information? That, to her, was something that was a critical need, even in light of the reduced revenues coming into the state for the overall budget. In your materials, we discussed the sustained case management system, and prior to this development of this PowerPoint, there was this concept of going forward with this request, but we've got some additional information such that we don't want to pursue this particular issue any longer. If there are any concerns, Kurt has some details just to offer.
So just at this point in time, Chief, the issue here is that the courts, and there are 16 of them that are currently on the Sustained Justice Edition, there is a contractual requirement that Sustain, the company, has that they will continue to support the Sustained Justice Edition for a three-year period unless there's notice given. So if there's notice given, the clock starts to tick, and there has been no notice given. So I guess we would characterize this in terms of the upgrade to the E version of Sustain as a want versus a need at this point. And this was vetted with the technology committee yesterday in terms of being tactical. And the cover letter that will go to the Department of Finance will reference the future need for some replacement systems for Sustain. But at this point in time, our fear is that if we submitted it to the Department of Finance, they're simply going to ask that very one question about how long are you going to have support for it. And since 3 years is quite a period of time, we would suggest that this be withdrawn.
Okay. The next issue relates to a problem that occurred when the proposal to eliminate fund balances and the $235 million reduction to fund balances was included in the budget. There were three courts that had set aside funds for facility needs, Santa Clara, Alameda, and Inyo. And in our conversations with the budget working group, we thought that there might be some rationale to pursue a level of restoration for these funds. But in discussing it further, we're finding it difficult to justify this request for general fund resources when there's still some level of resources available at the trial courts for support of the effort. And so we've discussed whether or not we should pursue this. My concern is that it will look as if we're sort of whining about the cuts, and we need to find a way to deal with them internally within the branch. And so while we have this before you because it was a recommendation coming out of the budget working group, I just expressed some concern about pursuing it given the sort of the complexity of our overall construction program and the fact that there's still some level of resources within the branch to help address this. So I'd ask that if that particular issue, if there's any interest in if we're withdrawing it, that you would consider that when we take the actions. And I'll turn over to Justice Huffman to discuss their efforts regarding the AOCs, BCPs, and the A&E committee's oversight.
Thank you. The Financial Accountability and Efficiency Advisory Committee has been charged by the Chief Justice and the Executive Committee with reviewing budget change proposals for the AOC. That's really the extent of the direction, and it's sometimes difficult for the committee to figure out exactly what their role is. One thing we do believe strongly that we are not in the position to recommend priorities to you. Budget strategies and priorities are a bigger issue for the council. We review these really looking at how they impact the administrative office and whether it adds positions, whether it makes different changes in their role or its purpose. Now, the three BCPs that are involved here all relate to trial court facilities and are requesting general fund money for expenses, at least in two of them, that will, in fact, be incurred whether or not the BCPs are completed. The first one has to do with the Long Beach Courthouse service fee. It's $33.832 million. Having to do with the payment of the annual service fee or the lease payment that's required by the project agreement. The proposed full year cost adjustment in fiscal year 2014-2015 to $20.382 million. The request is consistent with the outlay budget change proposal advanced by the Department of Finance in 2007 and 2008. The project agreement that was entered into by the Judicial Council, the AOC, and the Long Beach Judicial Partners, LLC, for design and construction includes this particular fee, and the agreement itself was reviewed and approved by the Department of Finance prior to the award in December of 2010. And as at least we understand it, this fee has to be paid by the courts. If we don't receive this augmentation of general fund money, then you'll need to find $33 million to pay from somewhere else. So we, the A&E committee, for our purposes, recommends approval of that, again, without taking a position on where you are on your overall strategies. The second one is increased operations costs for new and renovated courthouses, having to do with increased facilities operation costs for 10 newly constructed or renovated trial court facilities. That's $2.132 million. These requested are as an offset the county facilities payment or maintenance of efforts payment that we receive from the counties. SB 1732-2002 states ongoing operations and maintenance of court facilities that are in excess of the county facilities payment be provided by the state. The new and renovated court facilities are located in Contra Costa, Fresno, Lassen, Mono, Loma Sierra, Calaveras, Riverside, San Benito, San Bernardino, and Tulare counties. And again, if this request is not approved, increased costs for those facilities or maintenance are going to have to be absorbed within existing resources, which will result in a reduction of funds available for court operations and maintenance. So again, on that basis, the A&E committee believed it was inappropriate of BCP to advance to the Judicial Council. The last one has to do with the risk management program. And this is a proposed general fund augmentation to transfer to the Court Facilities Trust Fund money to purchase facilities-related insurance for effective risk management. The county facilities payments remitted provides $2.86 million related to insurance costs associated with transferred facilities, but those funds are based upon a 1999-2000 insurance costs. Obviously, property insurance costs have increased, as well as public liability insurance costs. The county facilities payments don't provide enough money to reach the estimated $5.6 million needed to provide effective risk management. We're told that currently 48% of the trial court buildings in which the AOC retains all or a portion of the risk of loss from damage are uninsured. And given the diminished funds available to the Judicial Council as a result of the various redirections and loans from the facilities construction funds, it seemed to the A&E committee that it may be prudent to not have the risk of a major loss that the council would have to absorb in an uninsured facility. So again, on that basis, the A&E committee believed it was an appropriate BCP to advance to the council. I leave to Zlatko if there's any further from the finance department that they wish to add to that. But it was the recommendation of A&E that these three BCPs be approved.
I think before we get to the recommendations, let me just offer this, is that in addition to working on these BCPs as we go forward and working on sort of educating the Department of Finance, I know that the Department of Finance is going to be looking to reconfigure the budget display. There's going to be a lot of work done to get to this goal of more transparency and more information. And so I think what I'd offer is that if I have an opportunity, if there's been much progress made by our next council meeting, that I would give you an an update on what it is that we're doing with the Department of Finance in terms of these proposals, as well as any other sort of major budget issues that may arise, because I think it is important that we provide you feedback on this at the council level. We will certainly be doing it with members of the Budget Working Group and others, but in terms of keeping you informed as a council about the discussion and how they think that the budget should be displayed to provide greater transparency to get to the goals that Director Montesantos was discussing, I think it would be worthwhile to come back in the October meeting to give you an update on terms of how the budget development process is going, in addition to looking at sort of the status of the BCPs.
And on this last proposal, this was submitted last year, a similar proposal, and it was rejected without review by the Department of Finance. So we want to step back strategically and evaluate, are there some other alternatives or options that we can take a look at? One of the issues is that in the executive branch, all the buildings are self-insured, and to some extent, our buildings are self-insured too. But we want to make sure that for whatever reasons or input we can get from Department of Finance, capital outlay folks, that we can account for those concerns that they may have.
David, you
almost said it. I'm sorry. I'll hold my remarks until your recommendations.
Sure. So the recommendations are by the A&E committee are that the council approve the proposed 13-14 BCPs for submission to the Department of Finance, but does delegate authority to the administrative director to make technical changes to the BCPs, including what Kurt has just mentioned in terms of if there's a further reexamination of a particular issue, that it be revised or even withdrawn as necessary. We as a staff also recommend that you approve submission of the Supreme Court Courts of Appeals and trial court funding requests, and that you also provide us the administrative director the authority to make necessary technical adjustments to the BCPs before they're finally submitted to the Department of Finance. Are there any questions?
David.
Yes. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Justice Hoffman, Kurt Zlotko, for your presentation. You commented about one of the issues that was part of a discussion relative to the monies that were swept for core construction, and you did report that we were one of three, Santa Clara was one of three courts that lost millions of dollars that were set aside for a project that we had. And we certainly appreciate the efforts that you have undertaken to try to explore opportunities to somehow restore or backfill that money. And when we heard initially that the money was going to be swept because monies could not be earmarked and would be protected, we were very, very concerned whether we would be able to meet the target, the financial target to fund our project. But with the work of OCCM and some of the thoughts that you had, there may be some other opportunities to look within the construction budget for monies that might be able to accommodate that deficiency. But I would agree that for us to proceed with the BCP relative to this project, I think would be very problematic. Given the fact that the monies that we would be obligating were not necessarily monies in our project that would need to be spent this year. And certainly this is a long process, and perhaps there will be some opportunities to find monies that can make up some of the differences and gaps that we have there. So I do support the recommendation that you made on that specific subject.
I appreciate that, David. And I would offer that as part of the working group and looking at reserves, that we have to educate the Department of Finance that since we don't get resources outside of the budget, the state budget, that we're looking internally, and that in sweeping funds like this, that you do have a direct impact on the operations of the court. So this is one of the issues that we'll make sure are part of those conversations about appropriate pots, transparent and known to all, but should be part of that overall discussion for reserves.
Thank you. Mary Beth Todd.
Thank you, Zlotko, for the presentation. Kind of following up with what David said, you had the proposal for the BCP for the courts that are currently under construction and will be done in the next the fiscal year, at least, that you're asking for funding for. And I agree with you that we have to proceed very carefully. And this will sound somewhat selfish, but my concern is when we go to ask for monies for those projects, what will it do to the rest of them in the queue? How will it be received? And I think taking a cautious approach, understanding that for some of those courts, they may have reserves this year that or next year that they can put towards that project. And perhaps we could approach the Department of Finance and come up with a balance of here's what we can fund because we do have reserves and we are not asking for that in 2 years with other subsequent projects we will have to start asking for. And so we need to work collaboratively on that solution. I don't think our construction funds can take any more hits. And I'm very concerned when we come in and we say, okay, now that we've built some courthouses, this is what it's going to cost us. I'm afraid what type of reaction we'll get. It may just be then don't build any more courthouses. So I appreciate that you're sensitive to that and that it does sound like you'll proceed cautiously. And that would be my suggestion is that we do proceed cautiously, perhaps by showing how we are trying to use existing funds while we still have them. Perhaps it will be an incentive for them to let us keep some more, especially for these courts that have projects coming. I do know that I did provide comment to the facilities working group with respect to this issue and the process they're going to be going through next week, because I feel like it's kind of unfair for the projects that will be coming post fund balance make them demonstrate how they're going to absorb these costs. We're going to all be in the same boat, but that I did emphasize that this is the reason why, as we design these new courthouses, we have to keep in mind that day one there may not be any new funding to operate, and you have to take that into consideration with your design. So, thank you.
Do I hear a motion?
I'll move.
Adoption.
Second.
Judge Rosenberg moves. David Yamasaki seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor of recommendations contained on page 2 of this item, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation.